T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Peter's there. Let's go to Peter right now and welcome him in. Where are you, Kansas City, did they say?
I just got out of a meeting with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, Mike, and I'm intoxicated with the Chiefs right now. They got something going on. This place is on fire right now.
Well, it should be. I mean, this offense is cranking. I mean, Mahomes, the kids, I mean, Hill, I mean, everybody. So it's been fun. Now, I'm sure Andy's a little worried about his defense. He should be. It's not done well in these two games, but they have put up a ton of points. In come the Niners, so it should be a fun game. And, you know, Mahomes, there's two stories in the league right now. Mahomes is one, and obviously Fitz is the other. But, you know, Mahomes has come in, and with all those weapons, he's done an amazing job so far. Two games, and away
two
you
games,
go.
Yeah. 10 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and the coolest stat was last week. He goes into Pittsburgh, where they hadn't won since 1986, throws 6 touchdown passes and 5 incompletes. But I know this is a Mets and Yankees audience, and the coolest thing, we just talked to him for about 20 minutes, Chris Spielman and I, and he's talking about the 2000 Mets and the 99 Mets. His dad obviously was on the Mets. But
his dad was a pitcher, yeah. I remember his dad.
Great stories, though. He's got Benny Agbayani stories and Ricky Henderson stories
sure.
and Derek Bell stories. He was 6-7 years old.
He's in the clubhouse as a kid, yeah.
In the clubhouse in the bullpen at Shea Stadium. So he's got great stories as a New York tie. So he's a fun kid. He's a nice kid. And Andy
those
says,
are Bobby V's. I just read Bobby V's restaurant. Those are Bobby V's teams. Bobby V took
Bobby
that team
V's
to the
teams.
World Series. Absolutely.
Great steak. Let's go. But he says in a real fun way, he's basically like, I'm having this. He's 23 years old. And Mike, I got off the airplane here in Kansas City. Every person in Kansas City is wearing a Chiefs jersey, most of them 15. It's all a lot. It seems like it would be overwhelming. Obviously, him and Darnold have a similar kind of makeup where it's not a lot. He's fine. He's pretty even-keeled. And Andy says he's had Alex Smith. He's had Brett Favre. He's had McNabb. He's had Vic. There might be no more talented kid upstairs as far as retaining the info and being able to spit it right back out than this one. They threw a lot on his plate. And he's playing a perfect game so far. Of course, the other shoe is going to fall at some point. They've got New England and Jacksonville coming, but I don't think it happens this week. I think they're going to roll real fast over the Niners.
Well, that's the part that no one talked about him, because everyone talked about the fact that what he does have is the Favre fastball. He can throw the ball 70 yards sitting down. He has this prodigious arm. He's a guy who could throw a fastball 100 miles an hour. He's got that legendary kind of Favre arm. You know, Favre had one of those arms like Elway, who could throw the ball football 60 miles an hour. This kid probably throws the football somewhere around 60 miles an hour, I would gather. I mean, he's got that kind of prodigious arm, one of those crazy arms. And if the head is anywhere near that arm, you got a very interesting player.
Yeah. The question I asked was, you know, I started getting gimmicky with him, a little cute, and I'm saying, well, how far can you throw it? He goes, well,
they say he threw it 100 yards in the air. I don't know if it's true. I mean, I've never seen anybody do that. They say that he can do it. I mean, I don't know if he can do it really, but they say a lot of guys say he can.
It was a trap question for me looking for something like that. He wasn't going to. He did say this. He said, all I need is a touchback, and I could throw a Hail Mary 80 yards. I mean, that's pretty cool. So, I mean, that's
he's got this legendary arm. There's no question. And listen, he's shown it. I mean, he's thrown. Not only that, though, he's shown, you know, Favre was not always the most accurate guy in the world. I mean, he'd sometimes be a little wild, mentally and physically. This kid has been on the money. And the amazing thing is the first week he only completes 15 passes. I mean, then he's got the home run hitter with Hill, which even makes the matchup more interesting, because he's got the guy that, you know, you can't overthrow. So here you got the guy who's got Bob Hayes-type speed on the outside, and, you know, he can run all day, and Hill wants, you know, put on some show the first, you know, the game himself with those touchdowns and the punt return and everything else.
It's funny. I was talking to a couple of the guys with the Chiefs, and, you know, CBS – they've got Brady and Manning for years. Roethlisberger was always solid. Rivers and Luck are good. For a while there, you're wondering, all right, Andy Dalton going to be the guy? Is Flacco going to be the guy? Overnight, CBS now, I work on Fox, obviously, and we're loaded with the NFC quarterbacks, but CBS overnight now has Mayfield, Darnold, and this kid, who might be the face, these three might be the face of the conference moving forward, and suddenly it's not so dire. The AFC is really interesting this year and really fun, and I'm excited to be there because it's the first time this kid is ever playing in front of a home crowd. He finished the season in Denver last year, and the Chargers and the Steelers were on the road. So, you know, Arrowhead is a nutty scene anyway. So I'm excited to be there, and it should be a show. And I don't know. I think the Niners will come to play, but it's a locomotive right now, what they got going on in Kansas City.
You know, the other thing is this is an offense where Andy, who gets ripped, and I understand because of the fact that he has become the Marty Schottenheimer of this generation, or the Chuck Knox, guys who are really successful coaches who don't do well in the postseason, and everything always goes wrong in the postseason, and that's been Andy's history. But Andy is a legitimately, you know, pass-happy play caller who now has a crazy offense in the passing game, and that's going to be fun to watch because he's going to dial up some stuff. He's already dialed some stuff up the first couple of weeks.
He said this. He was like, you know, what I still get a thrill out at this age, and you know, he's in his 60s, what I still get a thrill at is being able in the middle of May or the middle of June, picking something up and drawing up a play and then seeing it executed later, come July, come August, whatever. They haven't even started dipping into the bag, though. This playbook is so expansive and so deep, and you know, you watch the Bears on Monday night, and they got all this crazy trickery. That's because Matt Nagy was with Andy in Kansas City. And the thing that I loved was this. They did a game against the Steelers last week where the Steelers threw the kitchen sink at Mahomes. They blitzed. They didn't blitz. They went man-to-man. They went zone. And they went empty package 22 times, which is really football minutia, but it means there's no running backs. It's all wideouts. No one does it. And what Andy said was, it's not the spread offense. Don't call the spread offense. It's not, you know, it's not that. But I'm not afraid to do what worked in college for him and bring it here. And guess what? He's capable to do it. So we've never seen that kind of offense in the NFL, or we haven't seen it in years. And he's running it. And then on the next play, it's the wishbone. So Chiefs offense, if you haven't seen it, it's on Fox. They're playing the Niners. I would suggest watching. It's at least fun football, where Jets and Giants offense, they can't say the same.
Well, it's funny. You know, Jimmy G, after last year, comes into the building, and he's almost like he's a bit player. I mean, that's just, you know, and considering, and he's had a wonderful start to his career as a starter, and now he's the other guy in this game. I mean, it's amazing what's gone on. So that's interesting in itself because, you know, Jimmy G was a lot of people's mind this year. And right now, Mahomes and Fitz, you know, is the other guy who obviously Monday night, but Fitz has become the other story, the old man. You got the kid and the old man both lighting it up. And who would have ever thought? I mean, hey,
can't write these stories.
The Fitz story is the most unlikely story I can ever remember in the NFL. I mean, Tampa was picked to win 5 games by most people, and they're 2-0, and he's got 8 touchdowns and 1 running. I mean, that's insane.
Can I give you a little insight? I talked to their front office guys all this week because I love the story.
Go ahead.
And they had a couple things that they had to do this offseason. They had the 32nd ranked defense, so they're like, we got to get some defensive players. So obviously, they circled a bunch of free agents. They got those guys, and Jason Pierre-Paul was the guy they were targeting. They got him, all that stuff, fine. But before they even hit the defense, their GM, Jason Light, said, I got 2 priorities. One is re-signing Mike Evans to a big extension, which they did. The very next priority before the defense was bringing back Fitz. And people around the league were like, well, okay, I mean, that's cute to say, and I understand. They're like, he's like, no, you don't get it. And this is before they knew Jameis was going to be suspended. He sets the tone. He's the guy in the locker room. He is what separates a good quarterback room to a great quarterback room. So they were just bringing him back just to have him, just his presence. They were only thinking he was going to be there just to support Jameis. So to have this on top of that is just candy to them. And I'm telling you, I haven't heard this straight from them, but if he wins Monday night for an unraveling Steelers team at home, they are not going to take him out. They can't. They can't take him out.
They
don't take
out
a quarterback.
They
can't
take
him out.
That's
the greatest story of all time because no one, even Fitz, did not expect this to be the case.
They can't take him out. Are you kidding? That they'll tear the stadium down. They can't take him out. I mean, and if he beats the Steelers, and you know, the other side of that story is the Steelers who are falling apart, not just on with the selfishness of the big offensive players, but the defense not even putting up an effort in the secondary, not even tackling people. I mean, so here are the Steelers unraveling, and here is Tampa with this crazy story. So you got both sides of it there. If the Steelers go 0-2-1 on Monday night, that's a heck of a story in itself. You have the unraveling of the Steelers.
How about Antonio Brown? I mean, I got really beaten up for it because I was very critical of him all week. But I, you know, this is a guy who we put on the cover of the Madden video game. He comes out of a helicopter at training camp. We do 1,000 features on Fox and CBS about what a great, cool guy he is. It's all good when you're winning, but the second the going gets tough, that's when I want to see your leadership. That's why I want to see which guys step up. And to blow off the media Sunday, to skip practice Monday, and then to be antagonistic and defensive and downright insulting to some of those reporters yesterday who might have been badgering him, and that's fine. But to me, this is when the measure of a true leader comes out. And to not show up, especially with Le'Veon Bell and what's going on there and the offensive line and all these things, it just does not smell right. And I know a lot of people who know really well, and they all say the same thing. The Steelers will get right. It's what they do. Tomlin will get those guys together. I don't know this time. And maybe I'll regret saying that. I don't
know.
You know
what? They are selfish jerks. Let's be honest. You know what? I wouldn't want anyone, either one of them near me. Let them go play somewhere else.
I would
jettison both of them. And I understand that you're not going to do that in season. I mean, listen, if the kid back who kind of keeps playing well, you can jettison Bell and trade him for a high pick. They won't get rid of Brown. We know that. But the thing is, those guys, all they do is cause trouble. And Roethlisberger has probably had enough of the whole thing anyway, and he's kind of hinted at retirement a lot the last 2 years anyway. He might be coming to the end of the road anyway. So that could be a very different team in the next couple of years anyway. It will be, as a matter of fact.
It's funny because I've dealt with Brown. He's not a bad kid. I just feel like I don't know what they I mean, you got to pull yourself out of the situation and look at it from 30,000
feet. They're selfish. They're selfish. They're me guys. It's always about them. It's always about them. That's the thing. A word on the Houston Giant game, where obviously Houston's desperate and probably getting beat up. Giants, we know what's going on here. Both these teams had playoff aspirations. One of them's coming out of this weekend. 0-3, both are battered on the offensive line. Houston's offensive line's allowed 10 sacks, and their quarterback on dropbacks has been pressured 44% of the time. Their big three don't have one sack among them. Watt, Clowney, and Merciless have no sacks. So they got to be getting heat. The Giants are getting heat. Somebody's coming out of that game 0-3.
It's a weird one. I didn't see this happening week three. I circled this game as a fun game for this one. This one feels like it's got some dire stakes to it. I look at this team, and they were supposed to be all offense and some issues on defense, and so far the defense has been lights out for all things considered, and the offense can't get it going. This is that game where you look at Odell Beckham and you say, you've been fine, you've been a model citizen, all this stuff. We need you to have one of those crazy games. And on the other side of the field,
somebody's got to block the play, though. Their offensive line's been hideous.
You know what? This offensive line, I hear so much about the offensive line, I get it. They're getting crushed this week, but it's time for the Eli and Odell to get going, too. You need sometimes to make it work. A lot of teams have bad offensive lines. You work around it. I'm not going to clobber the offensive line every week. At some point, the team has to get things done despite the offensive line. And I don't know. Hopkins on one end, Beckham on the other. I think that's what it comes down to. Which one of these wide receivers that you're paying, $20 million, $18 million a year, which one of them is going to step up and show that they're worth it? So, to me, it's early. It's week three, but the Giants' schedule. This thing is not going
to be easy. The Giants have to win. Listen, if the Giants don't win this game, they're not going anywhere this year. We know that. I mean, listen, they're about to get buried in these – they're probably going to get buried now. I mean, the odds are if they come out of this next 4 weeks, it'll be a miracle. I mean, they're playing, this game, and they have New Orleans, then Carolina, then, Philadelphia and Atlanta. Atlanta has been crushed by injuries, absolutely crushed. I mean,
they lost
the guard now. They've lost two defenders. They lost Freeman. I mean, they have been absolutely crushed by
and they have a delicate psyche
anyway. So I think it's going to be a hard year for them now, I think.
It could be really difficult. I mean, you mentioned Keanu Neal and Deion Jones. They're two best defensive players.
Yep,
both out
gone. Yep.
I don't know if it's out there, but Tack McKinley, who was their first-round pick last year, who's really been coming on, I hear he's injured now.
Yep.
Devontae Freeman's injured. Andy Levitre's injured.
He's out for the season. Levitre's gone for the season. Yeah.
And that's a good player. So this is where you test. You look at your coach and you look at your leaders and you say, Matt Ryan, you're the second highest-paid player in the league. Julio Jones, we just gave you this big extension. This is why we pay you. And go find a way. That's what you have to hope. Just find a way. And Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff both got big extensions this offseason. Coach and GM, guys, find a way because it's not always going to be easy. And to me, they play the Saints this weekend, and I think we're going to see what the Falcons are all about.
All right, last week, You and I both went down on Buffalo. I took him with the points of my picks and lost. I almost got a cover late, but you know what? He threw the pick and it cost him the cover. But that's all right. But hey, so what's this week's upset?
I don't know. Again, I don't know. Tell me if I'm crazy on this one. I don't know if Denver is an underdog in Baltimore. But
yeah,
like
they are. They are. They're underdog at 5 points.
I think that team is gritty enough, and they are winning exactly the way they want to win. They lead by defense. They got a good run game, and Keenum does not hurt them. I think they can go into Baltimore.
If they get
Baltimore,
to 3-0, that's a heck of a start. You know,
and it's funny, right? Because I'm in Kansas City, and they're 2-0, and they're all anyone can talk about. Denver's the quietest 2-0 team in the history of sports, I think. I don't think anyone even wants to talk about them.
And how about the Raiders? Quiet. How crazy is the Raiders thing already? I mean, what a nightmare that is.
That's right. That's going to be one to watch because they've got 15 weeks and 9 years left on that one.
How much money they give him? How much? 100? How much for 10 years?
It's been exaggerated, but 100 for 10 is what they say.
All right. See you next week. Thank you.
You're the best. Thanks.
Thank you, Peter. Peter Schrager from Fox. He's got the Kansas City game this week. You heard Troy Aikman talking about him last week. He's got an interview on a pregame show, which he didn't even promote today, which I'll promote for him, with Mahomes. So he's got one on. If you want to see an interview with Mahomes, he's got one on a Fox pregame show this week. When we come back, picks for week 3. We're 1-2 both weeks. It's time for me to get started. I'm 1-2 the first 2 weeks. My dogs have done terrible, and my dogs usually do well when I pick them. I usually don't pick a lot on the dogs. My own dogs have been bad so far. So 1-2, 1-2. Time for me to get going when we come back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.